If you have your Bible this morning, we're talking about detours of life, Matthew chapter number 2. A lot of times we take church for granted. We come out of habit. We're only going through the routine. I stand here and I watch you week after week. And I'm sad to say a lot of folks are disengaged. You're here in the body, but your spirit's not here. So I'm going to ask you this morning to focus on purpose. We are blessed at the Crossing Church. And some of you are just not getting it. We don't come and just fill time. We try to give you things that will help you on a practical basis, day by day. And so I hope you will plug in this morning. There are outlines in your bulletin. I have not left blanks like I normally do on outlines. I want to make sure you get these things. I'm going to give you the sermon in a rapid fire. I know many of you are already looking at the time and thinking the Chiefs kick off at noon. But I want to give it to you as fast as I can, but allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart individually. And my prayer is during this next week, you will take this outline out and you'll say, Lord, help me. Because I believe there are so many folks that are dealing with detours right now. Well, let me ask this. We're reading through the Bible, reading through the New Testament this year. We've been in James. We're finishing up James this week. We'll be in 1 and 2 Peter, chapters 1, 2, and 3 then on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I wonder, how many of you are current in your Bible reading? Let me see. I love it. I love the hands. Now, if you're behind, that's okay. Just jump in. I appreciate Tim putting in the bulletin where we are each week. And you just jump in and start reading where we're at. The story this morning is a very familiar story of the wise men from the east who've been studying the stars. They're looking at the heavens for a sign concerning the coming Messiah. A star will appear unto them and they'll follow it. It will lead them to Jerusalem. And there they'll have an interview with the king, King Herod. And they will share some details about their journey. Let's stand, if you will, out of respect for the Word of God, and we'll read this. I know we're getting close to Christmas. I looked it up. It's not 90-something days to Christmas. I forget what it is. It won't be here before you know it. I don't intend to move into a Christmas series just yet, but it's just a good story for a basis for what we're talking about. Let's just start reading Matthew chapter 2, verse number 7, if you will. It says, Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary and his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasures and presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. You see this? They didn't go back the way they had intended to go. God says, I've got a detour. So they departed another way. Verse 13, And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and go and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose and took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I have called my son. Again, we see that God will direct them and say, Don't go back home like you'd intended to go, the way you've come from. I want you to go another way. Twice in these short verses, we see God told them, go another way. I'm taking you on a detour. So this morning we're talking about the detours of life. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, come to you in prayer. Lord, I get my life planned out. I know how it's going to go. And then God, when you mess with it, sometimes I don't handle it. I don't cope. But I don't enjoy detours. But they're part of life. So this morning, I believe it's practical teaching we can each take home and we can all digest and we can think about it. And Holy Spirit will apply it to our lives. And we'll be better for the time we've spent in this place this morning. Holy Spirit, we yield this service to you. But in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Detours of life. In just a few verses today, we saw that the wise men faced a detour. The next thing we saw, Mary and Joseph, God will send them in a detour. In fact, the young lives of Mary and Joseph have been filled with multiple detours. They were dating, and they did not plan on her getting married. They had not had sexual intercourse. They had not had intimacy with each other. There was no planned pregnancy. But all of a sudden, Mary found herself pregnant, and they were on a detour of their life. They're traveling now to Jerusalem. They never intended for this baby to be born on this trip. They knew it was close, but they didn't plan on having this baby while they were in Jerusalem. But when they got to Jerusalem, you know the story, the baby is born. Things changed. It was another detour of life. As they got ready to leave Jerusalem, no doubt they were going back home the same way they had come from, going back to where they lived. But God came along, He intervened again, He interrupted and said, listen, don't go that way, I'm going to send you down to Egypt, and He sends them on a detour. The biblical scholars are mixed on how long they think they stayed in Egypt. Some say it was only a few months, some say it might have been as much as a couple of years. But they stay in Egypt until God brings them back. You know, there are a lot of examples of people in the Bible who their life seemed to lead them on unexpected detours. I think of Moses being raised in the palace of Pharaoh. He's out one day surveying the Hebrew slaves and seeing what's going on, and he sees an Egyptian soldier who is abusing one of the slaves. Moses will challenge the taskmaster, the guard. Isn't that better? How's that? Man. And as a result, the Egyptian will be killed. And Moses will find himself fleeing to the backside of the desert on a detour of his life. And for 40 years, he'll live on the backside of the desert. In fact, this detour became home to him. He's married there. Things are going well. But one day, he's out taking care of the sheep, and God sends another detour. God speaks to him out of the burning bush. And the voice of God spoke to him, and Moses finds himself now going back. He's on a detour again. Joseph, you remember the favorite son of Jacob, went out to check on his brothers one day. You know the story how they took him and they put him in a pit. They sold him to the slave traders who then take him down to Egypt. Joseph's life is on a detour. For a period of time, he will serve in the palace. But eventually we find him on another detour as he goes down into the prison. Elijah's life was on a detour. Jonah planned to go to Tarshish, but he found himself on a... he was going to Nineveh. He wanted to go to... God told him to go to Nineveh. He got on a boat to go to Tarshish. He thought he could run from God, and yet God came along and said, I'm sending you back to Nineveh. He found himself on a detour by way of a great fish. Sometimes the detours bring us uncomfortable things. Job faced detours. He lost his possessions. He lost his family. John the Baptist was out preaching. He was taken. He was arrested. He was eventually beheaded. John knew what it was to deal with a detour. Saul was persecuting the church. He's on the road to Damascus. The bright light shines down from heaven and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saul finds his life then going a different direction than he had planned. He's on a detour. Even the young shepherd boy David found himself on a detour. He's no longer just raising the sheep. God says, I'm sending you another way. Yeah, David winds up on the throne of Israel, and that's a good detour. David knew what it was to face other detours in his life when his son raped his daughter. It was a detour. When his son Absalom tried to overthrow him, take over the kingdom, David's whole world went into a detour. There are a lot of things that can bring detours in our lives. Jobs, relationships, health, financial problems, car problems, problems around the house. We've got our life planned. We know how everything's going to go. First of all, as a young person, a teenager, you fall in love and you get married. Your plan is to have a happy home. You're going to have a little white house with a little picket fence, and you're going to have a little puppy dog, and you're going to have the average 2.3 kids. I don't know how you have 0.3 kids, but anyway, this is your dream. We're just going to be a normal family, and we're so excited about it. If you're not careful, detours come your way. Girls, you've got your dream. This is how it's going to be. I'm going to find my dream boat and we're going to fall in love. I'm telling you, a lot of times your dream boat, you marry him, he becomes a tugboat, okay? And it's just not quite what you had planned. We have a dream and then reality sets, life sets in. Bam! Detour. I know some of you right there were drifting off to sleep and bam, I woke you up. Detour, okay? I'm going to make 11 statements and I'm going to move very quickly through them. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit speak to you. You take it out later and you go through this. But then I'll give you 3 applications and we'll be done. Statement number 1, sometimes life takes you on a detour. Expect them. Just expect them. If you're not careful, we plan our life and things are going well and then something happens. Maybe it's unexpected expense. Maybe you get a bad report at the doctor. Maybe you don't get the best grade on a paper at work. You've got a problem on the job. And when something comes along that we hadn't planned, we get blown out of the water. We can't handle it and we can't cope. Our nerves go to pieces. We get stressed. We just want to choke anybody. I don't know if you've ever been that way. I'm going to choke somebody and I don't care who. The next person by, I'm going to get them. Let me give you a little advice that can help you tremendously. Sometimes life takes you on a detour. Expect it, okay? Jesus warned, said, yeah, in this world ye shall have tribulations. You're going to have trouble. He said, if the world hates you, remember they hated me too. Now, I don't mean to make light of it, but in all reality, the hashtag Me Too movement is nothing new. Jesus said they hated me. Don't be surprised if they hate you. We're living in the end times, and Scripture says in the end times, brother will turn against brother, neighbor against neighbor, friend against friend, nation against nation, wars and rumors of wars, there'll be no peace. Get used to it. Life sometimes takes you on a detour. And if you will learn to anticipate that, you're less likely to fall apart when it comes. Statement number 2, detours can be from God. Enjoy them. God is the one that sent the wise men home another way. He's the one that sent Mary and Joseph down to Egypt. But in all reality, in our lives, detours can be from God and they can be an adventure. God can use our detours for good. You remember when Mary and Joseph had gone back to Jerusalem for Passover, Jesus was 12 years old. And when they start home, everybody in the family is going along together, and all of a sudden it comes evening time, and they get ready to make camp on the side of the road, and they can't find Jesus. He's not there. They turn around and they go back to Jerusalem, and it takes them 3 days to find Him. They find Him sitting in the temple, conversing and teaching the scholars there. No doubt for 3 days, Mary and Joseph panicked. Where's my kid? Has anybody ever run off and lost a kid somewhere? Yeah. I'll never forget the time we left Jeff at church sleeping on the front row. How old was he? Maybe 4 years old? 5? I don't know. Left him on the front row at church, turned the lights off, locked the doors, and went down to McDonald's. Hey, fat boy got to eat, you know. We were in separate cars. When we got there, I looked at Connie and said, "Where's Jeff?" And she said, "You've got him." I said, "No, I don't." I could just imagine what Mary and Joseph felt like. They panicked. But you know what? Good came out of it when they found Jesus. He's sitting in the temple teaching the scribes. And they realized our son is the Messiah. It's true. Statement number three, sometimes we cause our own detours. We bring things on ourselves. Oh, we can try to shift the blame and that makes us feel better. And I'm going to say it's somebody else's fault. I'm having this problem and I'm going through this. When we were teenagers, my brother had the world's worst habit of running out of gas all the time. You run out of gas, that can be a detour. You know what I mean? It can ruin your day. My brother was forever and a day running out of gas. And Daddy'd say, "Son, why did you not put gas in your car? You know it takes gas for a car to go, right?" And my brother'd say, "Well, my gas gauge don't work." And Dad said, "Well, then put gas in it on a regular basis." My brother would try to shift the blame. He said, "Well, somebody must have stole the gas out of my car. I haven't driven that much. Well, I loaned my car to one of my other brothers, and they didn't tell me how far they drove." And he would go on and on and on and on, excuse after excuse after excuse, when the real problem was, he brought it on himself. In a little bit of road walking sense, he'd stop and put gas in the car on a regular basis. He tried to shift the blame. Sometimes we bring detours on ourselves, and we try to shift the blame to others. How about this? Statement number four. Detours can come right after the other. I mean, Mary and Joseph dealt with the unplanned pregnancy, the unplanned time of the birth, the unplanned trip to Egypt. Have you ever been there when you have one problem after another, one detour after another? I mean, it just happens, just bam, 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 bam. It seems like what in the world is going on? If you're not careful, all the detours start coming. You begin to lose your sense of direction. Now, can I be honest with you this morning? Yeah. I look back over the last, 6, 7 years, whatever it's been to me, it seems like the Crossing Church has been on one detour. And if we're not careful, we're going to lose our focus. We're going to lose our direction. We're going to lose our purpose. We're going to lose our reason for being here. We've got to keep our focus as we go through the detours. Pastor Cotter was telling me about a rogue that's called the Dragon Tail, or the Tail of the Dragon. I think there's a picture on your outline, and Tim's got it up for you there. It's a part of U.S. 129 that borders Tennessee and North Carolina. A stretch of road that's about 11 miles long. You got this, in 11 miles, there are 318 curves. Many of them hairpin curves, 90 degrees. They come one after the other. My mind works different, and I'm thinking, okay, 318 curves, 9 miles, there's so many feet in a mile. Did you realize that every 60 yards, you started into a curve, you finished that curve, and came to the beginning of another curve? That just blows my mind. For 11 miles, twist and turns through the thick woods, it's scenic overviews and things like that, and all the majestic beauty, but they describe it as two hands of white knuckles that are desperately grasping the steering wheel as you go down this thing. Bikers love it. As soon as I put the picture on there, I did. Robert's planning the trip already. Think about this. You better be prepared in life, because detours come one right after the other. If you're not careful, you're going to lose your focus. And I understand this road is not literally a detour, but the curve after curve after curve can illustrate the detour after detour after detour, how you lose your direction. Statement number five, detours can take you to the backside of the desert. It did for Moses. It did for John the Baptist. It did for Elijah. It did for Jonah. They all found themselves in the backside of the desert. If you're there, don't curse God for the desert. Instead, look to God. Learn from the time that you are there. Look for His presence. Look for that burning bush. Listen for His voice. Because His presence is even there in the desert. Statement number six, learn to be intentional on your detours. No matter your situation, no matter your circumstances in life, no matter what you're having to deal with, learn to stay busy for God. See, God can use you, even on a detour. Paul and Silas found themselves on a detour in the prison at the midnight hour, and yet they were singing and praising God. And as they did, it caused an impact on all of those in the prison. The prison doors came open. The Philippian jailer came in. He saw what was going on. Paul and Silas in the desert, in the prison, were still intentional. They're still praising God. And as a result, the Philippian jailer is saved. His entire house is saved. They're all baptized. Even though you're on a detour, don't lose your focus. Be intentional. God can still use you on the detour. Look for the lily in the valley. Statement number seven. Be alert to who you encounter on the detour. Maybe God sent you on a detour so you can be a blessing to someone else. I've seen an advertisement for a TV show. I've not seen the program, but my impression from it, it's called God Friended Me. My impression of the advertisement is God sends this guy some messages and says, I want you to go to this one or that one or this one, and they're dealing with something. I want you to help them with that. I remind you, 14:7 says that no man is an island. No man liveth himself, no man dieth himself. So maybe you're on a detour. I'm telling you, keep alert even on the detour, because you need to be alert to those who you encounter. God may have you on a mission. It goes right on in statement number eight. Detours can be exciting. Just because you're on a detour, don't stress out. There might be some exciting things ahead. As I remember when we were kids, we went on vacation every summer. And Dad would plan every day, every hour, every mile what we were doing. And if there came up a road sign that says detour, it blew Dad out of the water. I don't care if it's for a quarter of a mile or 30 miles. Dad got upset and been out of shape. I was just a kid in the back seat. You know, I'm just along for the ride. It didn't bother me. And I'll never forget one time, Dad, he got on this detour, and he didn't like where we was going. We were up in the mountains, up by Yellowstone somewhere. And I remember telling my brother, look, there's a bear in the tree. There's a bear in the tree. Boy, I tell you, I was having a good time. Sometimes there can be some exciting things along the way. Don't let it blow you out of the water just because you're on a detour. Connie, you remember the time that we were living in Lubbock. My kids, I don't know, they weren't quite in school age yet, less than Jeff. And Daddy got an advertisement in the mail that if we'd go over to New Mexico, Red River, New Mexico, and listen to this timeshare thing, he was going to get a gas barbecue grill. It sounded great, and I didn't realize that the little grill you got was about this big. You could cook one burger on it. It wasn't worth $10. But it was free if you go listen to the timeshare, okay? So we went camping at Red River, and then we're going to go over here to this timeshare and listen to what their pitch is, and Dad's going to get his free barbecue grill, okay? Well, in order to get there, if you took the main highway that were paved roads, it was about, I don't know, 60, 70-mile drive over there. But Daddy got out a map, and he got looking, and he said, did you know there are forest roads that crisscross all through these hills and these mountains and through the woods, and you can get this forest road, and it's about 10 miles over there. Why would it save so much time, be so much easier? So we took off on the forest roads, okay? These are little dirt roads, look like cow trails. There were no street signs, there were no markings, and we're going through the woods back through there. And it's up and down and around and here and there. We come to a crossroads. We know where we's going. Daddy said, well, I think we'll go this way. And we did that for, I don't know, an hour or so. And all of a sudden, I'm back seat, and I said, Dad, I smell gas. And he said, well, I don't know. And he looked down at his gas gauge, and it's doing this. We had come over one of those little hills and hit a rock and knocked a hole in the gas tank. And we're in the middle of nowhere. We have no clue where we're at. We jumped out. I got under there. I put my finger under the hole. And I said, what we got to do? What are we going to do? The only thing we knew to do, Mama always used to buy Coke in the big 32-ounce glass bottles, you know, them big bottles. And so she said, we got some of those in the trunk of the car. She said, now we're going to have to drink these Cokes so we can put the gas in it. She wouldn't let us pour the Coke out. Really, Mom? So we caught the gas in this big old Coke bottle, okay? Now, Daddy was a shade tree mechanic, and he came up with the idea, and the cars were a little different back then. He came up with the idea that we could take and pull the hose off the windshield washer, for your windshield wipers, you know, and put it down in this bottle of gas and drop the other end of that hose in the carburetor. And if you would let it siphon in there, you could pinch the hose. You want to go faster, you let go of it. You want to go slower, you pinch it because you didn't have an accelerator, okay? Now, there's only one problem. The windshield wiper hose is not that long. So it wouldn't go from the carburetor to the inside of the car. So I had to sit on the hood of the car with this windshield wiper tubing run down under the hood and dropped in the carburetor. And Daddy got it siphoning, and we're going in there. He got it started. We got it going. And he said, now, pinch it off. Pinch it off, because the car... it's just revving that engine up. So I pinch it off. And slow it down. Okay, so he dropped it in gear. Here we went. And he'd tell it, give it a little more gas. We're going up a hill. I give it a little more gas, and we make it up the hill. We get to the top, and he said, pinch it off, pinch it off. And I tried to pinch it off, because here we go down the hill, around the curve. And I'm telling you, I'm hanging on with one hand, holding this bottle, pinching on with the other. Whoa! Now, a detour can be exciting. Life is dull. Look forward to the detours. They make you pray a lot more. Statement number 9, I've got to hurry. Some people thrive on detours. They love detours because it brings drama. And did you know that some people just love drama? And if there's not drama, I'm going to create drama because I enjoy drama. And if there's drama, everybody's in chaos, and I can come in and I can fix the problem. See, they are codependent. That's where they get their self-worth. And if there's not a problem, they're going to stir up a problem. Mm-hmm. You got people in mind right now, don't you? They love to be the flagman standing on the highway of life saying, detour coming, detour, detour, detour. Stop, stop, stop. Hold on here. Wait till the pace car comes up. You can go. Go slow, slow down. And they're just flagging people everywhere, giving directions like everything. They love the chaos. They love the drama. They love the detour. They're the first one to point out, hey, we got a problem. Detour, detour here. Hey, we got a problem here. Don't always have a solution. But they thrive on the drama. You just be prepared for it, okay? Some people thrive on detours. Statement number 10 kind of goes back with one before, but are to teach us something. Other detours are to teach others something through us. I remember when my mama was sick with a brain tumor, 54 years old. It was a little detour for our life. God taught our family some things through that. He taught us He'd never leave us nor forsake us. He taught us His grace was sufficient. He taught us that His will was best. But I think He also taught some other folks some things that we could show them, that He could bring comfort and peace beyond understanding. And people would come to me and say, preacher, I don't know how you're dealing with it, with what your mom's going through, and yet you continue on with everything. Sometimes God will take you on a detour because other people are watching you and you can be an encouragement to them. Statement number 11. Our actions, our words can cause others to face detours. I think I'll just kind of let that sit there and put it out there and let you think about it and let that soak in a little. What did you say this last week? Did you do this last week that might have hindered others and sent them on a detour? Maybe it's a lost person. Maybe it's a saved person. Maybe you were gossiping. Maybe you were putting people down. Maybe you were judging others. Maybe you gave a sharp reply. Maybe you just had a bad attitude. Maybe you just had that look on your face. It may be the way you acted in line at Walmart. Oh, wow. Your actions can cause others to go on a detour. You don't realize people are watching you. And we've had some problems with our air conditioner this summer, our heater. Now we got into the fall. The repairman and I have become good friends. In fact, he's over there the other day working on it. And we said, we're about to eat supper. Larry, you don't sit down and eat with me? He sat down and ate supper with us. We've become real buddies through this. We went to Philadelphia, 3 weeks ago? We got home, our heater wasn't working. And had heat for 3 weeks. It's been getting chilly. Larry's been out a few times. He knew I wasn't feeling well for a few days. And you know what? My air conditioner repairman called me and said, "Preacher, I'm just checking to see how you're feeling today." When's the last time your repairman called you? What kind of impact do you have on those around you? Maybe your detour in life can encourage somebody, or your words and actions may send them on a detour of their own. Think about it. I got to wrap it up. Three quick applications and I'm done. Advice on how do you handle it when detours come. Number one, don't forget. Don't fight them. Realize they're going to come, and your attitude as you go through that detour can either promote you or demote you. You need to be prepared mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And you need to say, "I can deal with this. I can do all things through Christ to strengthen me." I like Craig's mantra, kind of, that he has. Something that he goes something like, expect good things and they will come. You need to learn to roll with the punches. Life would be a lot easier. I'm not saying give up and roll over and die, but I'm saying just don't fight it. Whatever comes, you can make it. Number two, how do you handle the detours? Learn to trust God's plan. James chapter 4, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we're going to go into such a city and continue there a year, and we'll buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. For you ought to say," listen to this, "if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." You just trust God. You submit to God. You surrender to God. You say, "Lord, it's my life is yours." Makes it a lot easier. Psalms 37, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." When you get up every day, you ought to say, "Lord, I don't know what detour is going to come my way today, but with you by my side, we can make it." Jacob and Rachel going through a lot of things. Their children are going through a lot of things. And Jacob said, "Preacher, today I just got up and said, God, it is yours. By your grace, we will make it." Final thought, number three, how do we make it when we face the detours in life? You need to examine yourself. Like I said, sometimes we bring on unnecessary, unwanted detours on ourselves. You need to stop and ask, am I creating my own drama in my life? I had a fat man ask me one time, he said, "I don't understand why God gave me diabetes." I looked at him and I said, "Buddy, I love you, but God didn't give you diabetes. You got it yourself by standing in line at the buffet line over there at the dessert table. That's what you did." Let's be honest. We bring a lot of stuff on ourselves. I was teaching my kids to drive, one of them one time, and I got them in the car, and I talked to them. It was a standard car, and how to start the car, and how to mash the clutch in, and how to let out on the clutch, and how to give it the gas. And they were doing so good, and we started down the road, and I said, "Now give it a little gas," and boy, here we're going down the road, and I said, "Hear the engine winding up, now let off the gas and put in on the clutch and shift it, and you know, then let out the clutch and give it a little more gas and go a little faster." And they did this through second and third, and finally got it in fourth, and finally that kid looked at me and said, "Daddy, I don't want to go so fast." And I said, "I'm not pushing the gas, you are." Maybe this morning we need to say, why is my life one detour after another? Am I the one that's doing it? My grandma used to say, "You run with the dogs, you're bound to get fleas." You can try to blame God, you can try to blame your friends, you can try to blame everybody else around you. Honey, you're in charge of your life. And if you find yourself on detour after detour after detour, stop and say, "Am I doing this to myself?" See, if we never put ourselves in a particular situation, we don't have to worry going down that road. You don't have to worry about a detour if you ever don't ever get on the wrong road, okay? You understand? You don't take that exit ramp. Don't ever get off there. Our problem is we want to live on the edge. We want to see how exciting it is. We want to see how right out to the edge we can get off. And the problem it is we fall over if we're not careful. You need to learn to say, here's the line. I'm not going to walk next to the line. I'm going to stay 10 foot away from it. We were kids. We used to go to Possum Kingdom, Possum Kingdom's State Park in Texas. Tim, I think you got a picture. I'm not sure this is Possum Kingdom, but it was a lookout like this. You could see the canyon over to the side, and they had a fence and a rail that you could go up to and look over and see the scenery. My youngest brother, Marvin, didn't think that was good enough. He couldn't see all the way down the bottom. He climbed over that fence and went down out there so he could stand and look over in the bottom of the canyon. You ain't never heard a mama holler so loud in all your life as when mama saw my brother. Our problem is we won't get out right on the edge, okay? Don't get out on the edge. It's going to get you on a detour if you're not careful. Listen to me. If you've got a problem with alcohol, stay out of the bar. If you've got a problem with gambling, stay out of the casino. If you've got a problem with overeating, stay out of the buffet. In fact, better yet, just stay away from the buffet and the bar and the casino. You'd be a lot better, okay? Time is gone. I'd intended to use testimonies from some of our people. When Tim posts this sermon outline on Facebook for you, I'd love for some of you who sent me testimonies to put them there. You had great testimonies, preacher. I've been through the detour. It's tough. But I've learned as I look back, the detour had a purpose. It had a reason. And if I just surrender to God, here I am. It's a lot better. You know what you need to do today? We plan our life. And we plan God out of it. We need to back up and say, Lord, I'm yours. I submit, I surrender, whatever you want. You need today to allow God to send a detour into your life this week. God, if you need to take me on a detour, that's fine. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to depend on you. I'm going to watch. I'm going to see if there's somebody I can encourage. I'm going to see if there's something you can teach me. There's a lot of wisdom in all those little points. I hope you'll go back and look at them. Let's stand, if you will. Father, I come to you in prayer.